Broadcasting live from the beautiful Sheraton Imperial Hotel in Durham, North Carolina, it's the North Carolina Technology Association's State of Technology Conference. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hello and welcome back to the final interview of the evening. This is Ann Revell-Petcher here with Michael Lauer, my co-host.
You know what, Ann? We are having some great guests, learning some great stuff.
Are
this
we
this is such a cool venue,
this
such a cool experience.
Cool. It's a
NC,
great
this rocks, man.
Yeah.
But I'm super stoked for this next interview.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, you just wait until you hear this one.
I know, I can't wait.
Save the best for the last. Is that how this goes, Lee?
Can only hope.
Yeah, so I am introducing to you today Lee Kornfeld, who is with Crowdtunes. Lee just finished up his MBA over at the Fuqua School at Duke.
That's right. Graduated last Sunday.
Whoa, man, he's official now. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your company, Crowdtunes?
Yeah, so Crowdtunes is it's a mobile management platform. For a venue, it's very simple. We walk into a venue, we give them an iPad mini, which they connect to the wireless internet, their sound system, and a television screen.
Oh.
And they're up and running in less than 5 minutes. They choose the genre of music that they want to listen to. So it could be 90s, could be rap, could be rock. And it plays just like a Pandora or a Sirius would play.
Huh.
On the television screen, what shows up on the left side is a queue.
Okay.
And on the right side is advertising space for them.
Oh.
So they can advertise
nice.
Drink specials or food specials, whatever they'd like. For a user, so the end user, you download the application. Currently we're on the App Store. We'll be on Android by the end of the summer.
Okay.
You download the application. It automatically checks you into the location.
Okay.
You purchase credits directly through the app, and you use those credits to bid on songs. So you can bid on songs that are already in the queue, or you can add a new song. And it's a collective bidding process, so it's a marketplace for music.
Okay, wait a minute. So this is like a jukebox.
Correct.
For the 21st century.
Correct.
And except for you're not paying to play a song, you're paying to hope that your song gets enough votes, or how does the bidding work?
Likes kind of system where enough goes to the top of the queue. And
well, it's actually you are paying, and it's as many credits as you're willing to bid is how much you pay. So if there's no one else in the location,
right.
One credit, which is about 33 cents, will get you to the top of the queue, and your song will play next.
Gotcha.
But if there's a lot of people in the venue, so say for instance, Anne really just loved a song, and she bid 5 credits to get hers up there.
Right.
But I want my song to play right now. I could bid 6 credits and bump her.
Now, what's the cost per credit?
It's about 33 cents. It can scale down to 25 cents if you buy in bulk. But, the idea is when the current song is done playing, the song at the top of the queue plays next.
Huh.
And one of the cool things that happens is when you're in a venue, you'll have two groups of people bidding on songs together. And as the song continues playing, they'll bid, and one will go up, and the next
and you
will
see this all on the board.
You literally
happening.
See it on the board.
Oh, man,
that's so cool.
Trip.
And you see it on your phone, too.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then when the current song's done playing, the one that plays, the crowd goes crazy. And we've actually seen a song go for as much as $15, one song.
Wow.
Because they wanted their song to play
was
right
it?
Then. I think it was Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Oh, that's a great song.
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue
that's
with
that. That's a $15 song, easily.
So, what stage are you at? Let's just start there.
Yeah, so we started with the idea about a year and a half ago. There were 3 Fuqua Business School students.
Okay.
And we pulled on an undergraduate who helped make us the alpha version. He's actually a rising junior at Duke University.
So he's pretty intelligent.
He's a lot smarter. He's a lot smarter than I am.
No dummies.
Well, you need those people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This fall, we piloted it in 5 different locations over the fall and saw great results. And we translated that into bringing 2 technical co-founders on board. And the technical co-founders, Rob Whitman and Phil Jacobson, are currently building a beta version that should be out this summer.
Okay.
But we are currently full-time installed at 3 locations, 2 in Durham, Olivia's, and The Social. And
oh,
one
really?
In Chapel Hill, which is the library.
Wow.
And we're in the process of trying to get into 20 to 25 locations in RTP by the end of the summer.
Okay. That sounds like great fun.
What's the challenge in that? I mean, do you have to really convince the value for them or finding the right venue? Like, what kind of venue? First of all, what kind of venue do you target? And second of all, how do you convince them to do this?
Yeah, so we're targeting a venue that has traditionally had satellite radio as their music solution. And what we're giving them is Satellite Radio Plus.
Yeah.
So we're saving them money on the cost of satellite radio, call it $15 to $20 a month. And we're making them more money by getting their patrons more engaged so that they stay longer and spend more money. So the value proposition to the venues hasn't been that difficult. Now, the type of venue we're looking for is generally one that targets a younger demographic, people who are on their phones and a part of the mobile revolution, and that is kind of a lively environment. So many of the environments we're in are places that actually do once in a while bring in a band or have a DJ. And when they do that, they put crowd tunes down. But they're not on all night. They're not on every night. And
as a result, they go on break. Yeah.
Exactly. And you really get a chance to see people interact.
Well, and I can speak to this too, because I mean, when you have a band and they go on a break or they stop, I mean, the crowd activity starts to die down. You need to keep that engagement.
Precisely.
If nothing else, keep selling drinks, right?
Yeah, there's actually, it would have been Tuesday night of this week, I went to the Oxford in Raleigh.
Okay.
Which is a location that has bands every Friday and Saturday night. And there's a potential that they'll be interested in using it sometime in the next month. And that's the type of venue we're looking for.
So, interesting. So tell me about the kinds of songs and where do you get them? I mean, can I listen
to
Tom Petty?
Yeah, how do you source them? That's a good question.
Yeah, so the songs actually, it varies by what the venue wants. So ultimately, the owner...
So they can stick to their genre and their
correct.
Theme.
The owner of the venue is going to choose what genre they want, what theme they want, and the patrons will choose from that. So the playlist could be as small as 10,000 songs, which nobody does, or as big as 10 million songs.
Wow.
Was that pretty common?
Yeah, most of the time you've got a pretty large playlist. I mean, people, maybe they don't want to hear, you know, they're not into country.
Is it cheaper for them to scale back on the amount of songs?
It doesn't make a difference.
So it's just being selective and sticking
exactly.
with the brand,
and,
right?
And the idea is when you talk to a venue owner, we want to make sure that, number one, the music's always playing. And number two, that the type of music that they want playing in their location is what's playing. So in a lot of ways, to the venue, you're getting the music you want to hear in the order that you want to hear it, in the order that the patrons want to hear
right.
it.
Right. So someone says, okay, I want every song, doesn't matter. And then some jackleg plays Blue by O65 15 times in a row, and they call you and say, hey, this song's got to go. How easy is it to change their playlist?
Yeah, so it's very easy to choose the genres. Once they've chosen them, if there's a particular song that they don't want to hear, the venue, there's literally an
or
option.
Or too much of, right.
There's literally an option they can skip it, in which case the credits get pushed back to the person
okay.
who bid. Or they can ban it. So they don't have to call us. They literally just click
ban.
So
they can use. Yeah, they can do it straight from their
exactly,
terminal.
Exactly. They do it straight from their terminal.
Oh, that's a huge plus. They don't have to contact you
exactly.
guys.
Exactly. And that's the point. The point of this is we hear over and over again from venue owners, music is critically important, but a real headache.
Yeah.
And what we want to do is we want to take away that headache and help drive additional revenue for them.
Well, part of a DJ's job is to figure out what the crowd wants and play the right song. Now you're just asking the crowd, and they're doing it themselves, and it works out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we, you know, we've said over and over again, we don't want to be a band or DJ replacement. We're not. But at those times when you don't have a DJ, or when a band takes a break, or you don't have a band, we're a much better way for, number one, patrons to hear the songs they want to hear, essentially to power the playlist. And number two, to make sure that there's more engagement from them. Because when normally we walk into a location that has Sirius, the music's playing and I have no control over what songs are going to be played.
Yeah.
And the idea of being able to have some control over that is really, it's fun.
I would go there for that.
Exactly. And we've actually, in speaking with the owner of Olivia's, Jason Schultz, he was talking to me the other day about a guy who came in, he was really pumped about CrowdTunes, downloaded it, used it that night, and just kept on coming in because he just really loved the idea of being able to play music that he wanted to hear when he wanted to hear it.
Yeah.
Now, are you able to play with this credit system? Like, say you have they have a special. I mean, they have their ad right here, and they have their playlist here, and say, hey, buy a bucket of beers now and get 3 credits. Is there stuff going like that going on?
Yeah, so one of the future promotions we're thinking of doing is something precisely like that. We're thinking we'll probably use something like a poker chip.
Sure.
Okay.
And we'll have some sort of special. If you buy a bucket, we give you the poker chip with a code on it.
And you scan it or type
exactly,
it in or whatever.
Scan it
right.
in, it's or you just type a code in, and that's free credits. And those type of promotions are a really fun thought process
for
us.
Yeah,
The music system itself can make a lot of money. But it goes beyond that when you really think about scaling this. If you're in 10 or 20,000 locations, there's tremendous opportunity for advertising, mm-hmm. promotions,
right.
or even customer data analytics.
Yeah.
So you talk about, we talked with a CMO of Apple Gold, which is it's an Applebee's franchisee owner
right.
in the area. They own 131 locations. And their CMO, when we talked to her about the potential to tell what people are going into each location,
right.
when, and,
right.
and a lot of details about it, her eyes just lit up.
I mean, oh, yeah, that's good. That is gold for Apple Gold.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
And that type of information is what people are really looking for. And there's some real potential there beyond the music. But ultimately, the core business is what's going to make or break us. And I really believe, based on the traction we've gotten thus far, that we've got a good shot.
Yeah, so I've worked with a startup that was actually out of Raleigh a while back that Their push was to go into restaurants, essentially, to be able to cut deals for their app. It's very time-consuming. How are you going to get in front of all of those bar and restaurant owners that you need to reach?
It's a really great question. Restaurants and bars are where we're starting. And to get into those five locations we're going to have by the end of the month, the 20 to 25 by the end of the summer, that's hard work.
Yes, it is.
It's door-to-door sales. That's what I'm doing day in and day out.
Fun.
Yeah,
but
right.
Ultimately, the first step is these franchises, right? So if we have a pilot that we're going to do with Apple Gold, if that pilot goes through, by the end of the year, we'll have 150 locations, right? So that's the start. But if you really want to scale this, it requires partnerships.
Yes.
And it's going to be one of a few different things. One is there's operator networks that exist. Operators provide arcade games, pool tables already into bars and restaurants around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And they can act as almost a sales person.
Do the legwork for you.
Exactly.
Right.
Smart.
There's brand marketers who are independent contractors for liquor or beer companies that already go in there. And there's technology companies. So there's a company out in California called Elacart. And they're going to put an iPad on every table in every Applebee's across the country by the end of the year. And when they talk about what they're going to do, the first phase is that you can pay the bill. Mm-hmm. The second is that you can order and pay the bill.
Yep.
But the third phase is that you can select the music and pay for the music.
Excellent.
And getting a partnership with a company like
that's major.
And there are a few of them, would be huge for us.
Yeah.
And it gets you into thousands of locations
absolutely.
At one time. Now, we're also going to look at other types of venues. Next week, we're going to have a conversation with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Nice. Oh.
Raymond James Stadium is always interested in ways to be innovative. And the idea would be that fans would download the application and during a series would bid on songs. And then during the TV timeout, the songs that they bid on would play.
Cool. Now, you know, not for nothing, but we sort of have somebody from the NFL's technology and mobile division here tomorrow.
I heard. I'll hopefully get a conversation.
Well, I think that's your perfect opportunity. Well, we have a lot more we can talk about. I want to get you up to our new studio in Wake Forest and get you up to do a longer interview.
Sounds great.
And I'm jealous because I want to learn more. I mean, this is great stuff.
You're allowed to listen.
I'll listen.
You're allowed to listen.
I'll send some questions.
Okay. That's a good idea. Hey, you know, Lee, thanks so much for taking time to come and talk to us about this.
Really appreciate it, and I appreciate you guys spending all this time at the NCTA.
It's a pleasure. It's just cool to see people doing innovative stuff that they're passionate about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, if somebody wants to learn a little bit more, how do they do that?
Our website's probably the easiest, www.crowdtunes.co.
Okay, and let's not make that mistake of putting the M on.
Just CO.
Just CO.
Just CO. All right, great. Thanks a lot, Lee. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Hey, no problem. So I guess we're shutting down for a little bit for today.
Yeah.
We're gearing up. It's going to go hard tomorrow, right? We're
getting a lot of great guests. We're going to breakfast together.
All right.
Okay, great. Everybody, we'll see you back tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. sharp for Business Radio X. It's Michael and Ann. See you tomorrow.